The Larger Catechism emphasizes sanctification a little bit more in depth on the shorter and says that it is a work of God's free grace, whereby they whom God has before the foundation of the world chosen to be holy are in time, through the powerful operation of his Spirit, applying the death and resurrection of Christ unto them, renewed in their whole man after the image of God, having the seeds of repentance unto life and all other saving graces put into their hearts, and those graces so stirred up, increased, and strengthened, so that they more and more die unto sin and rise unto newness of life.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need.
And this warning goes out then to these seducers. They come and they beguile. And how often the people of God can have their minds changed by those who come and those who seek to deceive. We find that in Scripture. There are those in the early church in a very short period of time given over to false doctrine. Why? Because of the deceiving power of Satan. They were beguiled. Verse 4, with enticing words. That word means to be cheated, deceived, deluded. We are to take care, dear believer, that as we desire to be sanctified by God, we listen to these warnings. The teachings of those who beguile are not teachings that make us complete in Him. We can think of those who came to Antioch, Acts 15. We mentioned that this morning. They came, and what was their purpose? Christ is not enough. You need the ceremonies. You need the circumcision. You need the ceremonial law. And it says Paul had no small dissension with them, no small dispute with them. I often smile at that phrase, no small dispute, because I can think of these people coming, they're preaching a false gospel, and, well, you can imagine the Apostle Paul, zealous for truth, not happy that this false doctrine is being preached to the congregation that he loved and cared for. He's not going to be happy. He's going to make a big deal of it. And the Word of God says there are no small dissension. And I can imagine it wasn't a small thing, it was a serious thing, because he loved the truth of God. He did not want the flock of God to be beguiled, to be deluded by these enticing words. We need to be those who discern the Word of God, those who found what they believe and practice upon Scripture. And so in this look at sanctification and being complete in Christ, we must beware of those who beguile, who seek not for our good, but for our ill to cheat us when it comes to the truth of the Word of God. And the truth is to be valued. We can think a few weeks ago, we mentioned the preached on the wise man and the foolish man. The wise man built his house upon the rock, building upon the truth of God, as Christ emphasizes. The foolish man built upon the sand, not the truth of God. And what happened? The house on the sand was destroyed. The house built upon the teachings of Christ. As the emphasis is, it was a house that stood firm. We are to build upon the truth. And it is the truth that sanctifies us. It is the truth that builds us up. If we desire to walk with God, we will forsake the seducers and we will heed the warning. But sadly, there is a tendency in men today to forsake warnings out of pride. We have our way, we have our path, we have what we believe is right. We have put effort into it. We want to go down that path, and that agenda is being pushed, and suddenly they're faced with truth. And it's far easier to slam the truth bearers than to admit one was wrong or even sinful. It's important how the truth is told, but we ought not to dismiss anything without that serious assessment of truth. I was faced with such a situation some years ago. There was a comment made to me that the sermon was too long in one man's opinion. As students, we were always told to preach for 25 or 30 minutes. We were starting off. I'm sure some of us felt we were maybe good preachers. The reality was far from the truth. We were starting off learning. And you often thought that you knew more than you actually did know. I remember listening to sermons when I was in college or looking at old sermon notes, and I'm thinking, how did I ever stand in a pulpit and preach that? I look now at old sermon notes from those days and from not so long ago and think, how did I ever stand up in a pulpit and preach that? God blesses and helps through the weakness. But we were to preach 25, 30 minutes thereabouts, and in one man's opinion, one sermon was too long. He was going to report me for preaching too long. He was rude. He wasn't a happy man. My immediate reaction was, this man is rude. He's little time for the Word of God. I wasn't that long. And despite professing to be a Christian, he's absolutely wrong on this point. He shouldn't have had a somewhat public rant at me. But I kept that to myself, and I asked myself the question, is he right? Is he right? And I checked. The service was longer due to a Bible reading that was longer. The announcements were longer. That wasn't my realm at that time. But the preaching was that which was at fault. The preaching was fine. It was within the time limit. He was blaming the preaching. It was everything else. Blame the preacher, but the reading was longer than it perhaps needed to be. It was a long passage, a narrative. But in the evening I preached longer because there was the time. The service was over within the hour. I preached 5-7 minutes longer. He was happy. It wasn't the preaching. It was the length of the service. He wanted out and he wanted home. But the preacher was the problem. Was he wrong in how he did it? Yes. But the question had to be asked, was he right? Were things going on too long? Yes, the Bible reading could be cut down. It was 1 Samuel 17, I believe, David and Goliath. It was long. Maybe a certain portion could have been read. But we often need to ask the question, is this person right? We might not agree with how it's done. They may have not done things right in doing it. We need to humble ourselves and ask that question, and that is difficult because of pride. We don't want to be wrong. But if we desire to walk with God, we need to heed the warnings. Those warnings may cut across our path. Those warnings may warn us of the sin that we're doing. They may convict us of sin. They may point out that sin. And we need to ask the question, did we do something wrong here? Have we sinned? Is pride keeping us from considering that which we have done wrong? The lesson is that we are not to let pride get in the way of our sanctification. We're to humble ourselves because of Christ. We're complete in Him. We're not complete in our pride or our own ideas. And in being complete in Him, we need to have the right view of Christ. We need to have the right relationship with Christ. The seducers, we need to heed the warnings. Warnings of sin, warnings of false doctrine, warnings of false practices. As we seek to be sanctified believers. There's a warning here, but notice a sure foundation against seducers. A sure foundation. Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, is a sure foundation. He gives us grounding. He grounds our souls in His truth. 2 Peter chapter 3, the verse 18 tells us, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peter gives that direction to grow. Christ is our chief cornerstone. Christ is the one who we build upon. We are to build upon Him. We are to walk in His ways. We are to grow in grace. That is the purpose of sanctification. We are to grow. We are to be edified. We are to be built up. We are complete in Christ, but there must be this foundation of truth, and we build upon it for our sanctification. There in Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. Yes, we're to walk in Christ, but verse 7 says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. What a picture this is. There's an abounding with joy because of Christ. There's a rooting in Christ and a building up in Christ. These things are necessary. There's a being established in your faith. Being established in your faith. Rooted. And built up in Him. I've a model. Model related to where I come from. Model of a ship. Built out of Lego. And after enduring moving house twice since last year, it wasn't in very good shape. And over the last weeks and months, little by little, I've been trying to put it back together. And it needed to, in a sense, be rooted. You needed to build the foundation. And then the outer, as it were, the hull of the ship had to be built. And bit by bit, it was built. Bit by bit, I found missing pieces. Sometimes I found those pieces. Other times, I didn't. And there was one particular piece that was missing. And the whole superstructure of the ship was finished. apart from this little area at the back, it needed one piece. That piece was missing. And therefore, the deck couldn't go on the ship. And therefore, the little building that you would put on top then, it couldn't go on either because it needed this foundation. And one piece was missing. A big piece, actually. And I couldn't find it. I looked through a whole lot of things. I've no idea where it was or where it is. It might still be in Calgary. Or it might have slipped down the heating vent at the house we lived in before moving. I've no idea. I couldn't find it. And so I had to order it. It arrived a few days ago. And within 5 minutes, everything was fixed. Everything was sorted. The whole back of the ship was completed. It could be joined together, put on display. Still missing a couple of pieces that still have to arrive, but it looks okay. But it was missing one piece. And that piece was crucial to finishing the ship, to that whole area. I couldn't finish it without that one little piece. When we think of what the apostle is saying here, we're rooted and built up in him. Christ is not sure foundation, but we're not going to be complete in him for sanctification if we're not truly building upon him as our foundation. If we're missing our prayer life, missing our reading of scripture, missing coming to the house of God to hear his word, if we're missing some of these things or one of these things or all of these things, what a difference it is. It hinders our sanctification. It hinders our relationship with Christ. It hinders that sure foundation. Oh, that we would have that right foundation, that those false teachers would have no sway over us, that we would be rooted and built up. If you go to the tree outside, that big tree that sheds all its leaves, that big tree the squirrel runs up and throws down acorn shells that hit your car and different things. If you go out to that tree and you take your hand, you punch that tree, what's going to happen? The tree's not going to move. Your hand's going to be sore. You try it again and again and again, it's not going to move. Why? Because it is rooted. The roots grow into the ground. And therefore, it's not going to move no matter how hard you push, no matter how hard you punch. It's going to remain rooted. And dear believer, you and I, through being sanctified by the Spirit of God, we're to be like that tree. The psalmist reminds us of that. The tree that is beside the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in due time. There's a fruitfulness because that tree is rooted in a place where the water comes past it. A place where there will be growth. A place where there will be that blessing. A place where there will be fruitfulness. We are to be rooted in Christ, established in the faith. And Paul is rejoicing in these believers. They're to walk in him. They're rooted and built in Christ. Therefore, there is this completeness when it comes to sanctification. Oh, believer, we need to build on that right foundation. The foundation of Christ. That we would be steadfast in our faith. Thirdly, I want you to see as we close, a sovereign antidote against seducers. A sovereign antidote against seducers. There's this foundation. A foundation in Christ. A foundation in his word. Being rooted and built up. But we're to walk in Christ. Walk ye in him. That brings us back to what we've considered already. The importance of walking with God. How do we deal with the seducers? How do we deal with those who come and attack us and seek to hinder our faith? Well, we're with Christ. We're with Christ. I remember once upon a time, My little cousin was having a few problems at a playground. There was this kid that was giving him some trouble. And I can't remember how old he was, but I know I was maybe 18 years old or less. And he's a good bit younger than me, so he's probably under 10. And this kid was giving him trouble. So he came up with a solution. He wasn't going to punch him. He wasn't going to try to make a compromise with him. He ran over to me. And he brought me over, and he said, "This is my big cousin, and, well, the implication was, if you touch him, I'm going to touch you." Of course, I wouldn't do that, but that was going through his mind, that if this kid gave him trouble, there's a big cousin who will not let anything happen. And when we think of these seducers, when we think of what they seek to do to the believer, we have someone with us. We have our Savior. We have the one who is victorious over these things. We have the one who is filled with the truth to combat these things. Those that beguile are found out by Christ. Those that spoil are found out by Christ. Those that follow the traditions of men are found out by Christ. And therefore, if we want to have that antidote, as it were, if we are to have that refuge against them, we need to be with Christ. And as is said here, verse 6, walk ye in him. And dear believer, the lesson for us as we close is very simple. Do not forsake the Savior. You're complete in him in salvation. In sanctification, ye are complete in him. Do not forsake him. To be sanctified, to grow in grace, you need to have that relationship with Christ. You need to walk with him. You need to know him. You need to pray. You need to be found in his word. You need to be rejoicing night and day that you have a Savior to turn to, waking up in the night, finding it difficult to go back to sleep, maybe things upon your mind. Speak to the Savior. Don't forsake him. Don't forsake him. What happens when we forsake the Savior? What happens when we forsake prayer and the worship of God? We backslide. We follow ourselves. We see ourselves as no longer complete in Christ. We need other things. If we desire to grow, we must keep Christ central. And so as we come to close this evening, take that thought away with you. Verse 6, in order to be complete in Christ, walk ye in him. Know his fullness. Know the power of his Spirit and sanctification. Know that you are rooted and built up with him and established in the faith. That gives assurance. That gives you a certainty. That gives you a hope in life that though things may go wrong, Christ is there. He helps you to stand against sin. He enables you to mortify the deeds of the flesh. He enables you to stand against that which is untrue and to stand for the truth, because ye are complete in him. How marvelous it is to know, going back to this morning, that we are complete in him for salvation and sanctification. The whole work of redemption, we are complete in Christ. And as we said this morning, we're not complete in him plus other things. We're complete in Christ alone for salvation. Our salvation is built upon him. Make sure your salvation is built upon Christ and his work at the cross. And nothing else. Nothing else. May the Lord bless his word tonight. For his name's sake, amen.
Spurgeon brings us to Isaiah 45, verse 19. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. We gain so much solace by considering what God has not said. What he has said is inexpressibly full of comfort and delight. What he has not said is scarcely less rich in consolation. It was one of these said nots which preserved the kingdom of Israel in the days of Jeroboam the son of Joash. For the Lord said not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven. 2 Kings 14:27. In our text we have an assurance that God will answer prayer, because he hath not said unto the seed of Israel, seek ye me in vain. Ye who write bitter things against yourselves should remember that. Let your doubts and fears say what they will. If God has not cut you off from mercy, there is no room for despair. Even the voice of conscience is of little weight if it be not seconded by the voice of God. What God has said, tremble at, but suffer not your vain imaginings to overwhelm you with despondency and sinful despair. Many timid persons have been vexed by the suspicion that there may be something in God's decree which shuts them out from hope. But here's a complete refutation to that troublesome fear, for no true seeker can be decreed to wrath. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth, I have not said, even in the secret of my unsearchable decree, seek ye me in vain. God has clearly revealed that he will hear the prayer of those who call upon him, and that declaration cannot be contravened. He has so firmly, so truthfully, so righteously spoken that there can be no room for doubt. He does not reveal his mind in unintelligible words, but he speaks plainly and positively. Ask and ye shall receive. Believe, O trembler, this sure truth, that prayer must and shall be heard, and that never, even in the secrets of eternity, has the Lord said unto any living soul, seek ye me in vain. This is Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for listening to our program today, and we trust and pray that the Word of God would indeed be a rich blessing to your soul. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.